This is Kate Moorhead Carroll in the podcast, Find It. Today I have the joy of being in the company of Lynn Peterson, who is a Pilates teacher and a wellness expert.
And a physical therapist.
And a physical therapist. And I'm going to be talking with her about how we might be well physically, spiritually, psychologically. But I want to begin by giving a little background as to how I've gotten to know Lynn. We both loved and knew Joni Newton, who was a powerful figure here in Jacksonville, wasn't she, Lynn?
Oh, she certainly was.
Yeah, she was a lifelong resident and a most generous, accomplished, intelligent woman. Lynn, how did you get to know Joni?
Well, Joni found me when I opened my business. It's called Synergy Studio, and we're Pilates, physical therapy, combined. I always say where Pilates elevates physical therapy is my tagline. Mm-hmm. And Joni came to us from the advice or recommendation of a friend who had just started with us. And this was in 2000. So we opened our doors in November of 2000. Joni was there by December of 2000.
Wow.
And
you accompanied her until her passing away at age 97.
Seven, wow. Yes.
So she certainly did live a lot longer with your assistance and support, and that's quite amazing. And she was walking around until the time of her death. I mean, she was pretty healthy up until she died.
she really was. She had a very strong sort of physical quality of life, certainly spiritual quality of life, and
really
I give you a great nod for that as well. She really lived to the full until her final days.
She was a remarkable woman. I miss her, and I know you do too.
Oh, I certainly do, yes.
So tell us about how, when in your life, or tell us a little bit about your background and how you felt, I use the word call in the Christian church, but how do you feel that this was your life's purpose, to be involved in well-being?
Well, to be perfectly honest, The calling came when I asked for the calling. So I had a very interesting, and I won't take the time on this podcast to go through all of the life that I lived until I got to a point where I knew I needed to make a choice and a change in my life. And this was right at about 32 years old, and had lived in a number of places, had worked in the banking industry, had just moved to Jacksonville, and was trying to decide what direction I was going to go in. So I checked out the banking industry, and I thought, that's probably not what I want to continue to do. I'm not feeling joy from it. So I wrote down an honest assessment of my strengths and weaknesses.
A good thing to do.
Consulted some counseling books that college counselors would use, and narrowed it down to a couple of occupations. And one was physical therapist, and the other one was physician's assistant. And I remember so clearly, it was a rainy night, and I was feeling pretty down and low and not able to make a decision, not knowing where to go. And I simply said, Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I need to lay this at your feet. I need your help.
Good for you.
And I just remember that so clearly. I had my cat curled up beside me. And lo and behold, the path opened up for me. So I chose physical therapy. And what was at that time, so this is in the mid-90s. This was actually probably 1993 when I actually asked the question. Well, then the path was, oh my gosh, your sciences are all too old. You're going to have to go back to school and get all these sciences, and then your chances of getting in are so slim because it's such a highly competitive program. I sailed through everything. I got my first interview. I got in where I wanted to go. It just was... The doors kept opening. And so it's just such a lesson, and to look back, and thank you for asking that question, because it makes me reflect on how central that faith was, that I really didn't even know that I had. I wasn't going to church. I didn't have a strong faith-based upbringing at all.
Yeah. Sometimes faith begins when we need help. It's a great way to start, just saying, I need some guidance from someone who is got a better perspective, which God has the best perspective.
Certainly. Yeah. Oh boy. And just knowing that I tried so hard to figure all that stuff out myself for all those years, then I am just so grateful that I had the wisdom at that moment to ask when I did. And so coming out of physical therapy school, I was a little bit disillusioned working in the typical settings that are insurance driven because that's just the way the system is.
Sure.
But what I was dismayed about was the fact that we could only work on diagnoses on people, and I had been trained to work on the whole person. Mm. You know, they kept saying in school, you've got to look globally and you've got to see the whole person and put all the pieces together. And so here I was, this graduate, I'm out, I'm old enough to have the perspective to know this isn't right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than being a young 20-year-old graduate, I probably wouldn't have known. Yeah.
Tell me about that. So the person is whole, bodily, psychologically, spiritually. It's interesting, we're in the season of Easter, and Paul in 1 Corinthians is talking about how it's our body that actually gets resurrected. I think we like to think of the soul as going away, but he talks about our body as like the seed that breaks apart and the eternal body is born from that, but it is a part of it. So I love this idea that our body and soul are more united than we think. Tell me more about the whole person.
Yes, and so the phrase mind body, you know, that's very familiar, and it kind of gets just, you know, I think maybe a little bit overused, but it truly is the connection or the intersection of the mind and the body. So the body can't be healthy if the mind is not healthy, and we can even take it to, if the nervous system is in a place where its job is to keep you safe, and if it's in a place where it's picking up signals that things aren't safe, for whatever reason, that is, so many, many reasons that somebody could not feel safe, then we aren't able to have our bodily functions working in the way that supports us best. So what I'm referring to is like there's this whole monitoring system that's working all the time subconsciously. We don't even know it, and it's talked about kind of commonly now, a little more commonly, as the vagus nerve is kind of the one that's getting all the headlines and all the attention, which it should, because the vagus nerve is really the one that's controlling the heart and the gut and the
brain.
Well, it's a cranial nerve, so it comes from the brain. So it does come from the brain stem, but it's going to affect the eyes indirectly. It's going to affect the throat and the voice pretty directly. And it's going to affect heartbeat, digestion, so blood pressure, all of this. So, you know, it's just such a myriad of things. And then the big central piece is the breath. Right.
Beautiful.
And so I love the love at the core.
Yes,
your brand.
Need love at the core of our bodies.
Yes, love at the core of our bodies. We need self-love, self-compassion. We need the ability to find that reset where the threat is not controlling us, where we have the ability, and we do. Innately, we do have the ability through breath and through mindfulness and through movement, which is where the Pilates piece comes in so powerfully, a very mindful movement where we're really paying attention to precision. There is benefit in going out there and just running to manage stress as well, or whatever, not casting any aspersions on that, because that is necessary for the body to function optimally. However, for the nervous system, the mind, body, the every part of the body to come together in a healthy way, then we do need to have this meditation, reflection, prayer. And I think the spiritual side of it is what I've become more and more and more aware of throughout my life, is how important that piece is in addition to all of these. We're not compartmentalized.
Right, right, right.
We are truly a whole, and I love that image of the seed.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
It is
beautiful.
For
the resurrection life, our bodies sort of break open and become dust, and out of that, the resurrection body emerges. It's funny, with this Artemis going around the moon.
Yes.
You know, it reminds me, we are all made up of stardust, you know, just a little bit. We're all part of this comet, satellite, ship thing, planet we're on.
Yeah. And that's really a lovely reflection.
Yeah. So, I've always wondered, I have a lot of people that come to me and talk about wanting to pray or wanting to meditate, but their minds mm-hmm. are very active because we're so overstimulated by technology. And sometimes I'll suggest that they begin by walking and praying or walking mm-hmm. and meditating. Tell me more about how you are able to help people meditate with movement, because it seems like for me, it's helpful for the restless mind to have the body moving a little bit. And then the mind can, it's more easy to quiet the mind when the body is a little bit preoccupied.
Yeah, that's such a great question. And it makes me think of a client of mine who I love dearly, and she calls it the itchy mind. And she'll say, my
itchy.
Mind is itchy. And like so that. we try to redirect, and breath is very powerful,
mm-hmm.
Especially elongating the exhale.
Mm.
And the reason for that is that the nerve that I was talking about, and it's an autonomic nerve, as I said, it's a cranial nerve. So we think of rest and digest, and we think of fight and flight. It's more on the rest and digest side of things. But without getting too complex about it, it has an influence on the heart, like a direct influence, a direct nervous connection to the sinoatrial node, and that is responsible for faster or slower heartbeat. So when we elongate the exhale, the heartbeat starts to come down. When the heartbeat starts to come down, that's a signal to the whole body, brain included, to start to decrease that mm-hmm. that itchiness of the mind, or decrease mm-hmm. that busyness of the mind, and start to bring some focus inside. So what Pilates does so beautifully is that it does bring the focus into the sensations of the body. However, if somebody's listening to something on the radio that's getting them wound up, and then they're caught in traffic a little bit, and they're running a little bit late, and then they find, they can't find a parking spot, and so they come in and they're all revved up, it takes time for me to recognize where they are, help them to come down, and then they can pay attention to their bodies. But if we stay in the revved up state, we can't pay attention to the body. There are changes in the brain when we stay revved up.
So the brain detaches from the body when it's under threat, which makes sense because the body might be needing to push itself harder.
Correct.
Yeah, interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah.
And it also affects our ability to think rationally and make executive sort of function areas of the brain work at optimally. So there's a benefit to even that, to just get the brain to focus. So if somebody is wound up and they need to settle down, your idea of walking and meditating, walking and noticing the bird calls,
mm-hmm.
noticing the trees, noticing that new growth that's coming with the springtime and the buds and the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All of that noticing takes us out of the busyness and is calming.
Mm-hmm.
So simply noticing your environment
mm-hmm.
and meditating is a beautiful way of noticing your environment.
It is. Yeah, it certainly is.
Yeah.
Wow. So you could say in a sense then that from a spiritual and physical perspective, our country is in a state of fear and anxiety, isn't it? Which means we're not as able to come to consensus or be rational because our brains aren't feeling safe.
Absolutely.
So yeah, with this war and Trump saying, I'm going to destroy a civilization. Oh no, they're doing better. You know, we're sort of riding a roller coaster right now, and it's gotten us pretty afraid, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course we know that he's been in for a little over a year. Well, mm-hmm. when it was apparent that he was going to be our next president, I enrolled in a course to do a really deep study of this whole nervous system cascade, if you will. Yeah. I had been made aware of vagus nerve and this theory around it, a gentleman named Stephen Porges, and it's called the polyvagal theory. So I did a really deep dive into it because I understood that that is where things were going to be going, and I understood that I needed to get more knowledge and understanding about this in order to, in my own way, minister to my clients.
Yes, yes.
Because I do believe, to your point, that it's quite intentional and has been intentional from day one in Washington to activate or trigger or kind of destabilize us from this point of nervous system feeling unsafe. And when you've got your population feeling unsafe, then there you go, the rational thought, the ability to look somebody in the eye and talk. You know, that it becomes much more difficult,
right?
Maybe even impossible.
Wow.
So I've been intentionally incorporating a little bit more of the breathing and more of the noticing and sort of putting names on things.
And, it, you know, wouldn't you say, Lynn, that in these times of high stress, regardless of how a person feels politically, we are in a very deep-seated polarity in our country. There's a lot of either or, black, white, Republican, Democrat. We're just not getting along. We're not coming to consensus, you could say. How do you advise that people learn how to find that relaxed state where they can think more clearly again? Would you advise finding a special safe place in the home where you can meditate? Or what? Give me some thoughts about how we can cultivate peace of mind so that we can be higher functioning.
That is fantastic. What a question. Thank you. Creating a space of no distraction, minimal distraction, as little distraction as possible, where you can just focus in on literally being in a seat. So we're sitting in chairs, and I'm going to get myself so that I can feel the two bones that I sit on. So they're called ischial tuberosities, but we call them sit bones because we talk about them all day long, where I can feel them on my chair. So I'm just going to find that position, and I feel grounded and supported. So it's a lot about support. And then you feel your feet on the floor, and you feel grounded and supported. And just being in that supported position and taking a deep breath in through the nose and then a long exhale and doing that three times. That will start to set the wheels in motion, if you will. Pardon me. To bring the nervous system down. Then what I like to do is just have like the hands rubbing together or some way that you feel touch. You start to touch and become sensate to your own body. And it could be rubbing the hands together. It could be touching somewhere that's easily accessible, the neck. I love placing my hands over my heart because I know intellectually about this nervous system connection to my heart. And as I just pause and just feel the rhythm of the heart and just feel my safety, then I just check in to myself and I'll literally say, how are you doing?
That's good.
Just how are you doing?
It's amazing how we don't ask ourselves that question.
We don't. And it can be, you know, whatever question resonates. And when I really am feeling triggered, we'll say, dysregulated, I will really stop and go, okay, well, stomach, how are you doing? Because I know about this nerve and its influence on all. I mean, it is all over our guts. It's all over the intestines, everything in there. So that idea of a gut feeling, that's where that comes from.
Interesting.
That's when you know, it's like, what is your gut feeling? So I do check into that.
Good. Yeah, and your gut senses a lot, doesn't
yeah.
it?
How are you doing, gut? And then I'll come up to the heart. And how are you doing, heart? And so I'm addressing, how am I doing emotionally? How are you doing? And I keep it really simple. I don't try to overthink it. It's just pleasant, unpleasant, or maybe neutral.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm really neither. I'm just in this neutral place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll think, well, you know, am I happy with being neutral, or do I want to get a little more pleasant?
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to get a little more pleasant, then I will move into maybe doing some movement. If I'm just neutral and I'm fine with it, then great. And then I go up to my brain. And what are my thoughts? Are they pleasant? Are they unpleasant? Or are they neutral?
Mm.
And so that's kind of where I'm making a decision about, okay, where do I want to go from here?
Body and mind check-in. I love that.
Yeah.
Almost like a body scan, but of the mind as well.
Exactly
that's
right.
Wonderful.
And you're just talking to yourself, so you're going to be completely honest with
that's
yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And then that could lead you to meditation.
Mm-hmm.
That could lead you to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Or that could lead you to movement. That
mm-hmm.
could lead you to walking around. Or it could just lead you to shifting your weight from that one sit bone to the other sit bone. Or it could lead you to just stretching your arms up to the ceiling. It could lead you to any movement, but just allowing the movement to happen in your body is actually very freeing.
I bet it is. You know, it's interesting as we're interfacing with technology, and I believe we're in a huge historic transition, similar to when they invented the printing presses in the 1500s.
Certainly.
We're going through a change of language, a change of how we interact, everything. We are losing connection to our bodies because of the screen. It pulls you out of the body. So what you're saying is just to keep that balance back again, come back into the body with the breath and with the scanning. That's so helpful. And back into the mind, because the screens pull you out of your mind. And then we wonder why our minds aren't working very well.
Right. And we wonder why we're not sleeping well.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
because
yes.
that mind continues to run.
Sure.
Even when we're in bed.
Yeah.
Right? And so you could be doing the longer exhale than inhale breathing while you're in bed. You can be visualizing walking and noticing trees and the blue sky and the birds singing. And, you know, you can still do those things without physically having to go out. You could be in bed and just picture those things that aren't related to technology. But just feeling the sounds of the breath in your body. Like at night when it's really quiet and you can almost feel the blood moving through and feel your heartbeat and your breath, those things bring you back inside and allow you to be more introspective. And I think it really opens up the brain to say, okay, this is our time to, because the brain is healing at night. I mean, the deeper you sleep.
Now we think it's cleaning itself.
Exactly, which is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, that we need to get the toxins out so we sleep. We don't really know what sleep is. We're just beginning to figure that out.
Exactly right. And we're just beginning to figure out so many things about the brain and emotions and consciousness. Right? There's still so much to learn, but there's this beautiful, beautiful mystery that we still are. And our spiritual connections all build on that beautiful mystery.
I know. I love the Artemis looking back at the planet and how beautiful it is to see our planet. We're such a miracle floating around in outer space.
Yeah.
Every bit about this planet is such a gift, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're right. And the Artemis mission is a gift to us to step back.
Look at ourselves.
I mean, look at how unifying that.
Yeah,
launch
we're one
was.
Thing, right?
Yeah, we were one thing for a little bit. That was great. That was a wonderful glimpse at what is possible.
It is.
We really have so much more in common
than
we have uncommon.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We are so much better when we're working together than when we're at loggerheads.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, you know, we have a center for well-being here at the cathedral that we're just birthed about a year ago, and we're learning how to help people be well financially, physically, spiritually. But it is a long process, and I'm so grateful that you're here, Lynn, in this city and in this community, and so grateful that I got to meet you through Joni. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me, and I am so grateful to know you.
And you have a wonderful day. God bless you and be with you.